College football nerds here talking Utah and Ohio State Rose Bowl. We had to get to this game. We're only doing four bowl season previews, and obviously this is going to be one of them. A little bit of homework for y'all, as we do every video. In the comments, give us your score prediction. And we're telling everybody during this bowl season, if you want to help this channel out, help us grow, help us reach other people, share this video where you talk about football. It'll help us out a ton. That means 11 Warriors. That means Facebook. That means forums. Wherever you talk about sports, if you like what we're talking about, share us. That'll help us out a ton. All right, Josh. So, you know, Ohio State obviously disappointed coming into this game. They had national championship aspirations. But it's interesting because we were talking before this whole thing kicked off that maybe they'd be deflated. Maybe they would be disinterested coming into this game. But if you think back, I think they played Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl 1 year. They played Washington, a good underrated Washington team, a few years ago and handled their business there. So it seems like Ohio State comes into this game a little bit more motivated than maybe they would be expected to. And it's because it's the Rose Bowl. And of all the teams out there that might be a little bit disappointed because they didn't hit the stars and landed on the moon, the Rose Bowl is basically the one that's the best prize in the postseason. I think that's reflected by the fact, at least up until this point, we don't have any opt-outs. So I just wanted to touch on that a little bit for those that maybe aren't Ohio State fans or aren't Utah fans that are watching this thinking that maybe Ohio State's going to come in and not care about this game. They're totally going to care about this game. Josh, I got a question for you. We've talked all year about how conference isolation is a problem and what external data points we have need to matter. And we keep saying Arkansas beat the crap out of Texas. Texas lost by one score to the top three teams in the Big 12. That's got to matter. Some of these other data points got to matter. But with Ohio State, maybe subconsciously or implicitly, we've all sort of just tossed that Oregon data point aside and we've forgotten about it, like it didn't happen. And it doesn't matter because that was the Ohio State team of the first 3 weeks of the season, not the Ohio State team we got down the stretch or throughout the middle of the season. Josh, is it fair that, especially when we got a Utah team coming in who beat the brakes off of Oregon twice, is it fair when talking about this matchup that we just forget about that data point like it never happened? Or do we need to keep that data point influencing our decision-making process when we predict this game?
Even I really want to throw it aside, and I'm not sure why, because something we talk about a lot is when you say about those games mattering, they matter from a statistical standpoint. They matter from a comparative standpoint, because you only get a few games a year where you get any idea what it means for a conference to play itself, right? And with the way that schedules are constructed now, particularly in the Big Ten, where you're only playing three out-of-conference games, not everybody even plays a P5 out-of-conference, those games are your only barometer. Because when the teams play each other, you're always going to go 500 in conference play. As a conference, you will go 500 against yourself. And maybe you distribute them a little higher, a little lower. Maybe your statistics on offense aren't as good. And does it mean because your offenses are bad? Or does it mean all the defenses are good in conference? It's impossible to say. I mean, it's like trying to judge a team based off its spring game, just drawn out over 9 weeks of spring games. So you have to take a lot from those out-of-conference games. But for some reason, with that Ohio State-Oregon game, we don't want to do it. And I don't know if it's because Ohio State had over 600 yards. I mean, they outgained Oregon by over 100 yards in that game. 28 points and 600 yards. Maybe we all feel like it's a fluke. We know Ohio State wasn't playing great football early in the year. They didn't look good against Minnesota, who ended up not being a great team in the Big Ten. I think it's fair to say when Trevion Henderson got really integrated in the offense, when C.J. Stroud got his legs under him, they were at least a much better team offensively. And most advanced metrics, they are a great team offensively, or the FEI, they're the number one offense, and by a considerable margin. I mean, the gap between them and Alabama, who's the number two, I'm trying to look through here, but it's like, something like the same gap between Alabama and, like Utah, who's actually coincidentally number 8. We'll get to that in a minute. So I think it should matter. I think there's reasons why it doesn't. It was early in the season, and there's a lot of reasons to say Ohio State is a better team, but this is why I think this is maybe a sneakily close game. Ohio State did struggle with good run games early. And then you know what? They struggled with a good run game in the last game of the season. And it's something we talk about all the time. People are really quick to say the warts team has, well, they're all gone. We fixed them. We fixed the problem. And short of something like an injured quarterback or a major multiple injury situation, I have tended to find teams that have a major deficiency that get better and get worse. It's usually either inconsistency or it's a matter of competition. Because more often than not, those major warts don't really completely ever go away.
And it's interesting because Utah is one of those teams who didn't look good at the beginning of the year. And a lot of times we've said this about Ohio State this year and years past, in that, well, it looks like they've really hit their stride after struggling early, but it's because they played some really bad competition and then the warts showed up later when they played better teams. Utah lost their games against maybe not great competition early in the year and then beat better competition at the end of the year. So there maybe is something to the fact that Utah is rounding into form and peaking at the right time. What's tough for me, though, and this is why this might be a little bit more of a stats-heavy discussion than normal, before we get in the model, I want to contextualize, because we talk how conference isolation makes it so hard to model, because all these conferences play most of their data and most of their games within conference against one another, and there's getting fewer and fewer external data points against Power 5 competition. So we've got an Ohio State team that played no P5 teams out of conference and then played within a conference that, surprisingly, the Pac-12 does not throw the ball very well. And I know you've got some numbers at the ready, so I just want you to contextualize the kind of passing offenses they've faced and why that might be a problem for Utah, who's got a good defense on paper, but hasn't seen anything like what they're about to see with Ohio State, how that could be a real stress point for them. Maybe put into context the kind of passing offenses that Utah faced this year.
Yeah, and then, by the way, he meant Utah hasn't played a P5 out of conference. They played Weber State, BYU, and San Diego State. Weber State was in FCS, and they lost to BYU and San Diego State. But the interesting thing to me this season, you know, kind of against old stereotypical tropes, the big, slow, run first, defense first Big Ten, which I think they have that reputation this year, has actually 5 teams that average a higher yard per attempt average than any Pac-12 team. The best passing team in the Pac-12, probably UCLA, in yard per attempt and QB rating, they lead both. They're 8.1 yards per attempt and 147 QB rating. Those are really not great statistics. Michigan actually has a higher QB rating and a higher yard per attempt average than any team in the Pac-12. And what's interesting is, is that a matter of offense? Is it a matter of defense? Frankly, I don't think it's a matter of defense. But the one team that is tied with UCLA for 8.1 yards per attempt, really, there are only 2 good passing offenses, and that's Oregon State. And Utah this year, you know, played UCLA. They did well in that game. But you know what? There's a slight wrinkle there. DTR did not play for UCLA when they played Utah, so they didn't have to face the major passing attack. But Oregon State, they did face the starting quarterback. They gave up 10.9 yards per attempt and 2 touchdowns over 200 yards passing, 74% completion percentage. Now, there weren't many passes thrown, but they lost that game, 42-34. And so when you consider the fact that the Pac-12 was not a good passing league this year, the fact that Ohio State is an excellent passing offense, and I don't think they're just better passing the football than anyone in the Pac-12. I think they're considerably better passing the football. It does make things kind of interesting, because we talk a lot that there are these stress points that happen in the game of football, particularly in college football, where when you start to see teams that can do things that you haven't seen before, you'll find things that are broken about you in ways you haven't expected. Georgia ran into that against Alabama. Their secondary is maybe good, not great. They've got some serious weaknesses at corner. They had weaknesses in the slot. The safeties are not particularly phenomenal in coverage, but have been covered up by the fact that their front seven is like generationally good. And against Alabama, that got really exposed because they played a team that was a couple notches better in the passing game than anyone else. And all of a sudden they kind of hit that point where things just kind of started breaking, where the guys got just a little bit more separation and the ball got out just a little bit faster because the quarterback was a lot better. And all of a sudden, plays that would have been sacks become 60-yard touchdowns. And does that happen to Utah? I don't know. I think Utah has a really good defense, but it certainly presents stressors that we haven't seen. The flip side is the point I made before. Utah is a great, powerful run team. And Ohio State is a team that struggled with a run all year. And maybe this is a good time to get in the model, but you know, this is the thing I'm going to throw out. You know, this is a 6.5-point spread in Ohio State's favor. I think maybe that's lower than some people anticipate. And I'm going to throw it out there. It's really because this isn't a phenomenal matchup for Ohio State. And this is a game that really could see a lot of points, in my opinion.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and get into the model and break it down for us.
So this model has this game actually tilted slightly to Utah, 33-32. Utah is expected to have 5.8 yards per play, Ohio State 6.3. The big key here is if you actually, you can look at the defensive numbers and feel like they're pretty good. You know, Utah is allowing 6.2 yards per attempt. Ohio State's allowing 6.8, both allowing under 4 yards a carry. Problem, their competition level on average has not been very good on the offensive side of the ball. And so when you adjust for that the way our model does, it's actually saying Utah allows teams about 85% of their rush and pass averages. Ohio State's even worse, 88% of opponent rushing averages, 92% of opponent passing averages. Those are really not good numbers by the standards of either program, particularly from Ohio State. Rush D, to be an elite rush D, that number should be like 70%. And for pass D, really should be sub-80. Utah has a good pass defense. Neither one of these teams are particularly good statistically. Otherwise, outside that. And even then, Utah's just merely good in pass defense. And because of that, you get two teams that are really expected to be able to do what it is they like to do. Ohio State, you know, over 8 yards per attempt, over 4.5 yards per carry. That's really running an offense at a pretty good clip. Utah, 5 yards per carry. And even with 6.6 yards per attempt, that per carry average is enough to really carry a team. And so you get this 33-32 prediction that is based a little bit on you know, how good the offenses are. And then it slants this way a little bit because Utah is a little more efficient at scoring per yardage. Ohio State has had problems this year where they get pretty good yardage numbers and they don't produce as much. And an example of that, the last game of the season, Ohio State against Michigan had 5.8 yards per play. Utah against Oregon had 5.6. But Utah scored 38 where Ohio State only scored 27. They're finding points in other ways. They're more efficient at scoring. Ohio State's dependence on explosive offense is great and wonderful, but at times it doesn't always translate. And our model is not so simple as like points per yard. I'm just trying to break it down in ways that are easy to understand. So that's why it slants this way, 33-32. And I think it's interesting. You have, from our model perspective, wrong team favored scenario. You have a spread that is still Ohio State by a touchdown, but maybe not as much. I still think maybe not as much as the general public would think. Now, I think a lot of that is the respect for the Big Ten versus the Pac-12. Our model does not and cannot adjust for conference differences, particularly when they're this isolated. If I tried to make the model key entirely like off the Ohio State-Oregon result, the game of football is way too variable for that, so you're kind of almost just throwing a random dice roll and weighing everything off a dice roll. It doesn't really work. So you can't really model these bowl games very effectively. No one can, and if they say they can, it's luck. None of us know. You have to use the eye test, and I think that's where Vegas is coming from. But I do think it's interesting from a metrics and model perspective. This is a wrong team favored situation.
Either the Big Ten is entirely overrated this year, or it's going to prove out that they are not, in this game. We've got two really good games, really, the Michigan and Georgia game as well. But I just think that playing in the Big Ten East is on another level than right now playing in the Pac-12. And so when we're trying to compare these things, like you always say, it's like looking at two mountain peaks, two Polaroids of mountain peaks, and we don't know, there's no way to judge which one is taller than the other from that. And for me, I just think that Ohio State has played a better level of competition. And, you know, Utah's going to roll their eyes. Utah fans are going to roll their eyes and look at the Oregon result. And I think if that, you know, if that's fair, then we can also look at the BYU almost blowout loss for Utah and San Diego State loss for Utah and say, look, you've got your own warts there. Or we can look at who these teams were in their kind of average team throughout the year. And from that, in that respect, I think that Ohio State played better competition, has more explosive athletes, and is going to run into fewer scaling issues against the opposition, which to me leads to a pretty comfortable score. I've got 34-20, which is kind of counter to what you're saying, the Vegas alarm bells and the modeling alarm bells are ringing. So I'm interested to see what your score is, but I've got 34-20.
So I'm going to say 33-30 Ohio State. I have it under the spread. Here's the deal. Utah is fourth in the country in sacks. They have 42 sacks. They generate pressure. That's something that I think Ohio State has been susceptible to. And Utah is a physical team that is, you know, they're pretty balanced, right? I mean, they pass more than they run, which is kind of weird because they're a much more effective per play team running than they are passing. But I think they've built themselves into being a pretty physical football team, and I think Ohio State has had trouble with teams built this way, teams that have more of a power run spread approach. And I think that maybe rears its head a little bit. I do think this is going to be a fairly high scoring game. We don't base our picks on the spread, but looking at the over-under, it was 65.5, and that kind of confirmed what I was thinking in my head, that the danger here for Ohio State is I think you can end up in something of a shootout more than you're really expecting. And Utah's ability to get pressure combined with Ohio State's tendency this year on the offensive side of the ball to stall a lot and have inconsistency. And I think CJ Stroud in particular gets rattled some and has issues with his footwork when he's not allowed to play in rhythm, I think could sort of come back to bite Ohio State. And I actually think this is a pretty tough game. Now, I don't think Utah is as good as Ohio State overall, but I think this is a tough draw. And in FEI, again, Ohio State is first in the country offensively, but they are 40th defensively. Utah is 8th and 18th. And whatever you feel like your impression is, the computers say, man, this is, to use the cliche, by far the best three-loss team in the country. From a performance perspective per play, they're kind of like a team that just screwed up, had bad breaks in the first few games of the year, dropped a couple games they shouldn't, and redeemed themselves. And I think what's interesting, too, it's easy to say that Utah's schedule's been easy. And if you look at the FEI Elite team schedule rankings, yeah, Ohio State's 32nd, Utah is 65th. It's pretty much in Ohio State's favor, clearly. But when you look at the rankings for an average team, you know, more like what would the average team do? How consistently difficult was it? Ohio State's 26th. Utah's 15th. They've had a consistently tough schedule. They have not had many easy games, even if they haven't had the super hard ones. And so I think this is a tough game. I think this is one that Ohio State could very easily lose. I think Ohio State, like you said, it's a little bit of a prove-it game for the conference. I'm not going to take much away from Michigan and Georgia. Georgia is the gorilla in the room that Alabama is able to pounce on if they play at their top. But Georgia is a terrible matchup, in my opinion, for Michigan. You can listen to a preview about that game and sort of hear my thoughts on it. And the fact that Georgia's just really, really daggum good. I mean, they don't even represent the SEC. Alabama and Georgia are at a different level than the SEC. Georgia dominated every game by multiple scores until that championship game. So I don't think that's much of an indictment. This one, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, overcoming that Oregon loss, proving it was a fluke, showing you can play physical football at a conference. Fair or unfair, I do feel like it's a little bit of a referendum. And my honest opinion, when I really look at it and I've really thought on it, I think Utah has a very realistic shot to win this game.
All right, y'all. That's it for us on Utah and Ohio State. Give us your scores in the comments. Let us know how you think this game's going to play out, and we will mix it up with y'all down there. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great bowl season, and God bless.